This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Over the last few weeks, we've seen Apple and Epic Games get caught in a legal tussle over the App Store and how payments are made on it. Now, this is an important piece of news because the fact this is a huge piece of revenue for these tech giants. In-app purchases, subscriptions, and all these sort of payments that run through these different app stores and the games that we play are an incredibly lucrative revenue source for these tech giants, which means they could possibly be really damaging to your wallet. To help shed some light here, I'm speaking with Idham Idris, licensed financial planner and director of Wealth Vantage Advisory. Idham, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Idham, I think just give us a wider picture of this. Now, microtransactions and in-app purchases are, as I mentioned, big revenue generators for big tech and games, gaming companies. And really, it's something that we don't pay attention to, but could be really painful to our wallets. Could you shed some light here?
Well, due to the nature of providing continuous improvements and updates to digital services, like the apps that we use, tools, and in some ways games. So digital companies is moving towards what we call software as a service. Yeah. And games also is adopting this SaaS concept, which they call it games as a service model. So when you look at software as a service, it's very straightforward. You know, you subscribe and pay for continuous fixes, updates, new features and improvements. So, for example, I use my Word Microsoft Office, where it offers a subscription for me to access on all these improvements. So I pay a yearly subscription. Whereas a games as a service model offers the same thing. However, there's some unsavory elements that some may see as what we call exploitative, predatory, and encouraging unhealthy spending.
So what are these behaviors then? Could you give us some examples of things that you've observed that are particularly concerning?
Yeah, so the thing is, game. When we look at specifically at games as a service, there's something interesting there, because what the game developers have learned is to make their apps as appealing as possible by directly exploiting what we call the mechanisms of addiction. Yeah. So when they want people to continue to spend, they're trying to form the habit by using what we call the chemicals in our brain, the dopamine, yeah, a neurotransmitter that's tied to learning, exploring, seeking out novelty, and feelings of being rewarded. So what they do is, some games, they promote unhealthy addictive behaviors that is built into the game itself. Is designed so that the players, you know, fork out money, you know, either to be unique or perhaps even to gain bonuses to win in the game. Yeah. So to the point that even if you look at patents held by some of these gaming companies, they, for example, like Activision, which is one of the biggest companies in the world, Electronic Arts or EA, where they push players to spend money by matching you in the game with players that has a competitive advantage, thus making you feel desperate to win. Yeah. And then it actually, in some ways, forces you to think about, perhaps I should spend a little to win, you know? So that's the scary part, actually.
And it's a slippery slope, I feel like. I mean, when you take a look at it, and it's not just games, right? This dopamine hit is something that a lot of tech companies have been accused of doing, whether it's the social media giants or any of these, anything that wants to keep you glued to the product, right? And keep you using it. For example, the notifications that we get from social media, you get a dopamine hit when you get 15 new likes on that photo on Instagram. But within this situation, the slippery slope here is that you end up spending money. And because it's online and digital and in-app, you're doing it without feeling the pain of taking that money out or even taking your card out to make that payment, right? There is one less hurdle towards you second-guessing that purchase, because it's just one button and then another button. I think a great example of this was a few years ago, we had the Candy Crush craze. I think this must have been 2013 was years ago, and everyone was buying additional lives. And, you know, it's $1 or 4 ringgit, but if you do it 5 times a day, that's 20 ringgit over a
that's
day.
Right.
And it accumulates. And these are things that you don't realize until you get your statement at the end of the month. And if your statement is automatically paid for, you don't even see it, and it just accumulates. And it's kind of these little things here and there that are dangerous. What are your thoughts on, in terms of managing the situation with kids? I think this can be particularly concerning.
Actually, it's very simple, you know. In the first place, you know, if you discount other things, like for example, there's already safeguards in your phones. For example, if you use the iPhone, there's certain settings that you can set, like every time there's a purchase being made through the App Store, you have to key in your password. That's one. You can also don't put any payment, don't tie any payment card to any of these services in the first place, you know? So you're not automatically charged. Yeah. Number two, I think parents do need to monitor and be aware what are the games that our kids are playing. You know, just talk to them, perhaps even join in and play together with your kids just to understand the whole thing. Because, you know, you need to be aware of the dangers, especially on the financial side. One of the things that we need to know is how does it feel when you're losing? You know, it's true.
No, it's, you have to. I feel you.
Yeah, you have to. You have to understand. Then you can relate to your kids feeling like desperate or wanting to spend them. So this is why I say, you know, the practical questions of the monetization design of these games, you know, is being created based on compulsion and, you know, player psychology, you know, because it's designed that way. It's designed to lead towards you spending. So that's the danger, I would say.
So it's important to pay attention to, one, the type of games your children are playing and the parental controls that are available in some of these phones, right? So that some of them are very advanced, where you get you have to approve certain transactions before they go through. So it requires work. You've got to actually go into the settings or read up on how to get these things done. But the pros here are significant to the potential cons in terms of how it damages your wallet. So it when we take a look at the potential damage that can come out of this, do you have any stories for how much financial hardship this can potentially cause? Because I know I have friends who've accidentally spent hundreds of ringgit on games before. Do you have any stories from clients or anecdotes?
Well, again, I just want to iterate, you know, because of the monetization model, it's the whole process is actually to create artificial scarcity, you know, of items. So the whose necessity creation and consumption only the game developer can control. Mm. Yeah. So which means that you're being bound through the design to spend money. So the issue is not you spending $1, $2, $3, $5. In fact, they've done studies where when you look at the actual spending of most, I would say 70% of people out there, it's no more than $5 over the lifetime of them playing that game. So, for example, if you're talking about someone playing Candy Crush, they would only be spending, like, for the 3-4 years they've been playing, at most they've been spending 10 to 20 ringgit. That's, I would say, fine. That's okay. But you're concerned about even these gamers where the game companies themselves call them as whales.
Yeah? Right.
So whales is very similar in casino, in gambling. They're the big fish. You know, they will sit at the table and they will gamble and they would spend lots and lots of money. So similarly with whales in games that has this microtransaction models or in-app purchases models, they will be spending a lot of money, you know? And I think recently there was this Chinese mobile free-to-play game. I just read about it, where one of the players spend, guess how much he spent?
I am scared to even guess, but let's say $1,000.
Oh my God. You're so far off.
How far off am I, Adam?
He spent $150,000.
Oh my God.
Yes. To gain an advantage in the game. So this is the question where, and then the funny part is the game developers would publish this news saying that, wow, we have a king of spending.
Okay, so I think this is a very
the highest,
important
point. Biggest spender. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, the highest, biggest spender for this game. You know, and they treat it as a recognition. So what is it promoting? You know, are they promoting saying that you should spend as much money? And we don't know how this person got that $150,000. Did he had to mortgage a house to get the $150,000? Did he spend his whole retirement funding? So that's the part where what we call, spending obscene amounts of money can have an effect into their financial future, where it affects other areas of their life, like retirement, children education, all that.
And here we're no longer talking about children anymore, right? We're talking about adults as well being engrossed in this environment where they are, for lack of a better word, they're essentially addicted to these games or trying to keep up with the crowd that they're playing with to get that competitive advantage. Up next, we'll get into warning signs and red flags to pay attention to, as well as tips on managing spending here. You're listening to Ringgit and Sense. Keep it here to BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Karnison. This morning, I'm speaking with Idham Idris, licensed financial planner at Wealth Vantage Advisory, and we're talking about the impact or the potential impact of in-app purchases and games on your wallet. Now, Idham, another big thing when it comes to games and purchases in those games are loot boxes. Could you help break this down for parents listening and why they should be paying attention to this?
Okay, so loot boxes is actually something very simple. You know, I'm comparing to gambling, where you can understand it easier. Loot boxes is technically digital slot machines. You know those machines where you pull the handle, mm-hmm. and the numbers spin, and then you hope that you hit 777 or jackpot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's similar to slot machines where that's what you're doing. You're just pulling the handle. Yeah. And it forces spending because of the artificial scarcity of the items that you want or the bonuses that you will get through those loot boxes. And because the concept is random. You know, you're just pulling on the handle and hoping that you'll get it. So you'll be spending money, you know, to purchase what they call the tokens or the digital currency within the game. So that's actually another trick that they use in games where they use a different kind of currency. They don't actually use US dollars. They use like coins. They use like, I think Fortnite, they use something called V-Bucks. Yeah. So you're not actually thinking that you're spending money. You thought, oh, I just spent 100 V-Bucks. But 100 V-Bucks could be 10,000 ringgit, you know? So it forces the spending for the user to get the best item, which can only be received randomly through the boxes. Therefore, spending can be totally uncontrolled because you're just trying to spend and trying to get, and you still keep pulling the handle of the digital slot machine, you know?
So again, this is tapping into that addiction factor, right? The dopamine hits the different facets here, and it's important for, I guess, not just to pay attention to children, but to adults as well, right? Addiction doesn't discriminate. If it hits you, it hits you. So, what are some of the warning signs that that we should be paying attention to? Whether it's in our families, our friends, our kids, what are some of the things to pay attention to that differentiate someone from spending $5 on Candy Crush over 5 years versus let's not say $150,000, but hundreds or thousands of ringgit on loot boxes and game in-app purchases?
Well, I think it goes back to normal issues with regards to getting in debt, or, you know, very similar to a person who has a gambling problem. Yeah? Very similar to somebody who has an addiction problem where their spending is uncontrollable and they spend an obscene amount of time on the game itself. and you can see like a behavior like emotional outbursts, being angry that they didn't win. You know, these are some of the things that you need to be aware of. Because even with kids, you know, we talk about using these games or even the mobile games where you have your credit card that is tied to it, and then you're concerned whether your kids are using it. But there are ways for kids to go away around it, where they actually, for example, save money, their lunch money, you know, and then they buy the gift cards, the digital gift cards that you can buy at any bookstore here in Malaysia. And then, so they're already learning. They're basically being, how to say, exposed to the addiction, basically, where they learn that, oh, I need to save money and buy these gift cards to make sure that I can purchase these in-game items. That is if they save money. What if they start to steal money? Mm-hmm. You know? And yeah. What if they start to borrow money? You know? And then they get in trouble with other things. So, you know, you don't want your kids to start out life by learning all this, and then later on, you know, it brings them up into the adulthood where they continue this kind of behavior, where potentially it can be more damaging.
And it could spiral into different parts of your personal finances, I presume, as well.
Correct. That's right.
You know, we're not here to vilify games, right? Like, I'm sure you love playing games. I love playing games as well. But I think we're highlighting being responsible about it, and being able to identify certain red flags if they should happen. Spending a few bucks here and there is one thing. Spending more than a few bucks or a few thousand, especially in proportion to your own budget, is a very important thing to pay attention to. So do you have some pointers for all of us when we are playing games and, you know, we're tempted to buy that additional upgrade? Do you have any advice on this part?
Like I mentioned, take advantage of those parental controls in the apps. Be aware and monitor, especially with your children or your family members, what they do or what they play. You can have a specific budget, in fact, even if you want to spend, because if you look at it, it's actually another place where you're spending your money on, in terms of like a hobby. And in any hobbies, overspending or unhealthy spending is a problem. So have a budget. I had one client who liked to play this game called PUBG, Player Unknown Battlegrounds. So he told me, I need to have a budget of 100 ringgit, where by spending the money in this game, I'm happy. I can achieve what I want to achieve. Maybe it's like buying certain things, certain cosmetic items or things like that. So he said, but I will keep it at 100. So I said, okay, that's fine. You know, it's just similar to like you going to watching the movies where you spend 100 ringgit on popcorn and the tickets itself. So having a budget is very, very important. But, you know, just like you mentioned, tying your payment, like your credit card, into the app itself, and then making it easier where you can just press one button and then it's automatically charged. That's dangerous. Please make sure that that's not being done.
Yeah, I think the two points there that are super important, Itam, is one, it's like a hobby, right? And like any other hobby, you should have a budget for it. And if you start spending money on too much money on any hobby, whether it's painting or running or whatever it is that you find as that hobby of yours, then it's a cause for concern. The additional cause for concern for video games or anything more digitally skewed is the fact that it's very easy to spend money, right? And that you have at the tip of your fingers, you can spend a lot of money very, very quickly and without really realizing it.
That's right.
And on that note, Itam, before we wrap up, do you have any other remarks to end on?
I think it's important to, like you mentioned, keep it healthy, you know, have fun. We're not advocates for not playing games. Yeah, it's just being responsible and knowing what are the digital pitfalls so that you don't get caught in the future.
At the end of the day, it's your responsibility, I guess.
That's right.
Itam, before we wrap up, for sure now, another type of digital spending, I think, is things like subscription, right? Netflix and iTunes, Apple Music and Spotify become so so entrenched in our culture today. Do you have any concerns over these type of subscription services? Do we have too many of them in general?
It's still at the end of the day, depending on what you want, mm-hmm. and how you're utilizing it, and whether you've utilized it to the max. Yeah. So your internet connection is a subscription service.
Yeah, that's true.
So are you using it to its full potential? And again, if you're talking about Netflix or iFlix, Hulu, all these new companies coming out, Disney. I like basketball, so I actually subscribe to NBA. I think at the end of the day, you have to be responsible and you have to be aware of how much you're spending. That's the most important thing. That is the key point, I would say.
And on that note, Idham, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I was speaking to Idham Idris, licensed financial planner and director of Wealth Vantage Advisory. And you've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasan for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.